Wasn't last Sunday fantastic?
Yeah.
It was really beautiful, a beautiful morning, and thankfully God blessed us with the weather, and also the bandstand was ready in time. So that was a good moment. And but just very special. I love it when the church comes together. And definitely the Bride of Christ was on display. And she was looking good, sounding good. And last Sunday, and it's not just about coming together, is it? You know, it's the unity is a powerful witness. And I was just thinking about John 17, where it says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, and so that the world may believe that you have sent me." And it basically is when the church comes together, the world believes that the church is not in disunity. The church is together. And that's a witness. And we heard last week that some people came to the Lord last week. And that was just a powerful witness, wasn't it? That was just a powerful witness. And ask for more of that. And last night I was in a field, as in Wiston House, just down the road. 30,000 people in a field worshipping together. So that was a good moment too. Again, just the church together, coming together as one. And God just blesses that unity. Just a feedback, I had a crazy evening on Friday. So I was with 3,000 Spanish people worshipping in Madrid. And Spanish people are lively. Really lively. I wasn't quite ready for it, but it was, they were just dancing and loud. They were just happy to be together. Just happy to be together. So I was in Madrid in a sports arena. And it was fantastic. And to also hear people singing in Spanish. It was beautiful this morning, wasn't it? In Romanian. Yeah, it's cool. I think God's got some surprises for us. And my friend has a great line, people sing their own songs the loudest. So when people sing in their own natural tongue, it's just louder, it's more passionate. And these Spanish people definitely were passionate. So that's been good. It's been a good, crazy week, but it's good. And just wanted to teach and just... I'm just going to share for 10 minutes, not too long, and I'd like us to do some praying together afterwards. And Ben's going to show a couple of scriptures that we've chosen. But I'd be nice to teach on sowing into culture. And as part of the sowing and reaping thing. But and I'm going to teach from Matthew 5. Verse 13 to 16. So let me just find it. Let me just read it. So you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under feet. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Yeah, so we are called to be salt, and be salt in society. And if something doesn't have salt on it, it goes off, doesn't it? It loses its flavor. Personally, I'm a bit more a pepper man. In fact, it's gone a bit worse now. It's gone on to Tabasco sauce. So that's that works for me. But any people, not me very well, who makes food, makes meals, and knows that we need salt. We need salt in there. We need some flavoring. And that's what we are called to be as a church. And as people, we are called to be salt in the world. And we bring the flavor of Jesus, the flavor of the kingdom of God into it. And it needs, the world needs what we have, really, really needs it, or else it's going to go off. And so I feel, you know, as we prayed even this morning already, the Holy Spirit isn't going to embolden people today. It's going to make you bolder and more confident, give you holy confidence in what you, even what we carry. You know, that we carry we carry Jesus, we carry the Holy Spirit. And that is salt, isn't it? That is a real flavoring that we need to bring. You know, Sharon's been encouraging us to go and be. I love that. Go and be among the people. Be salt. Make it taste better. Make it better. Make life better for a lot of people. You know, when we enter places, we change the atmosphere. We change the flavor. Even in our conversations. Julia, you know, you can be a glory or a misery. No, Julia used to be a glory, so she understands. Used to be a glory. Now she's a bit more of a misery. No, that's me. No, that's fine. So basically, the Ishmael, our friend Ishmael, he used to have this thing, you know, are you a glory or are you a misery? And it's a bit like that, isn't it? In our conversations with people, we can either bring a positive thing or we can moan with everybody else. And yesterday morning, I arrived at Gatwick, and the passport, I don't know if you heard about this, but all the passports weren't, control was not working in every airport. So I arrived home, I was on schedule, blah, 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 and I just arrived, and the room was just full and full and full of people in rows and rows and rows waiting to have their passport checked. So there was definitely a misery moment. Definitely like I'm going to moan the whole time, and I just thought, no, I'm going to stand in this line. I've got a word to bring tomorrow, so I should... So all things work together, as you say. And but it was just, there's definitely in our conversations, isn't it? We can either bring godly conversation, you know, we can bring soul into it, can't we? We can either bring soul as in this is, you know, positive situations. We can actually bring God's perspective. Yeah, bring God's perspective. And you know, sometimes salt is good news. You know, so you get a situation and that's it's bad news, isn't it? Every time, everyone's just sharing bad news. But God's doing so much. And we need to bring good news into situations where conversation is just down. Do you know, we need to bring to say, no, God's, and we need to bring, as you said earlier, bring hope. And in my own life, I found that the time when I've, as you know, it says in Scripture, I've lost my saltiness, is when I've actually tried to fit in. I've actually compromised sometimes, and I haven't said things when I should have said things, because I didn't want to upset people. And so. Judith and I, we had a coffee with our good friends, Dave and Rosie Fellingham. And so we had actually sitting in a coffee house in Meads, and we were just chatting and about things, and then it went quiet. And then he looked at me and he says, Les, he goes, no more Mr. Nice Guy. He says, if you see something, you have to say something. So that's been a challenge to me, you know, because my natural thing is just to get on with everybody and, you know, and just make sure everything's in unity and, you know, we get to see things happen together. But he says, now I have to say something. And so I've had to become a little bit not as nice. Sorry. So I've become not as nice and a bit more... A little bit more outspoken, and and it's been challenging. But the thing, if I was, because when you're silent, it feels like you approve of something. So and then people will say, didn't he say something about it? And he said no, he didn't say anything. So by not saying something, that means you approve of it. So I've had to, I've had to start speaking up a bit more. And there's another line, isn't it? Evil triumphs when good men remain silent. And so I've had to do that. I've had to learn to say things and almost things like, okay, well, that's not that important. And there's other things going on that they need to correct. But I feel like God wants us, even as a church, to have a voice. And and part of that being so is to be that voice, and to speak up. And Lord, sort of really, think the Holy Spirit also. There's the thing, isn't it? The Holy Spirit rises up in you when something's not right, and then you have to say something. So, and obviously, there's been a few situations just recently. Obviously, Black Lives Matter, with things that were going on. Me Too situations where things now have to be said. Do you mean we accepted things before, but now we're not accepting them, and we're being salt now. And salt sometimes rubs, doesn't it? Salt rubs, and so sometimes it's easier to back off, not say anything. But I believe the Lord wants us to speak up, even in situations that. At work or wherever, and we see something that's not right, then the time is now for us to speak up and say that's not right, or no, I'm not having that. And even personally for myself, I would be quiet in conversation. One, two. Oh yeah, we're back. I did that on purpose. That's funny. Yeah. And even in our worship, isn't it? I just thought there, and just our worship. If we're silent, God says, even the rocks will praise me. Do you know what I mean? So, and I was thinking about Jenny the other week when you said, God, everyone's got to sing. Sing out. Come on, sing. Do you know what I mean? God, raise our voice. Raise our voice. And God doesn't want us to be silent. And he wants us to be salt in society and to bring his perspective on things. Amen. God, stir us up. Stir us up. And then it also goes on to being the light. I love that. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Isn't it amazing? We live lives and we light up the world. We walk into dark rooms and we bring light. It's amazing. Don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others, that people may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So when we do good deeds, which the church is doing many now, your Father in heaven is glorified. And one thing that I was thinking again about the UK blessing song. And the amazing thing was, again, about that song was that the Prime Minister at the time, Boris Johnson, he gave an award. And the award was actually is called Points of Light Award. So a worship song was given the Points of Light Award. Which is amazing, isn't it? It says, Prime Minister Boris Johnson has written to Christian worship leader Tim Hughes to thank him for organizing the UK Blessing video and awarded him the Points of Light Award to recognize individuals who have had a positive impact on society. And it says, this is the good deeds bit as well. Boris Johnson wrote, I know that you're also leading efforts through your own church to support those in need in Birmingham and to befriend those who are feeling lonely and isolated at this time. And he says, your sensational singing masterpiece is truly uplifting and has touched millions around the world with its message of hope and its beauty. And on behalf of the nation, I just want to say a big thank you for all that you do. That's amazing, isn't it? And but even I love that it's called Points of Light. But we are called to be lights. And so, Lord, this the whole thing of sending out, isn't it? The sending out to be lights. And I thank you, Rita, for that picture. Rita, thank you for the gas light. So I was so encouraged when you brought that. You know, God is, even this morning, isn't he? He's putting the light on. He's making us brighter. He's refilling us with the gas that we need for to be gas lights in every area that we are. Yes. And just for us to really also accept that calling to be a light to the world. And that's what God says. You are lights. Your lives are light. Your lives light up the world. That's from the Passion Bible. Your lives light up the world. And isn't some people that can walk in a room and they light up the room? That's what people say, isn't it? When people come, they light up the room. And I pray that over us. I pray that when we walk into rooms, we will light it up. Just because we're bringing Jesus into the room. And, you know, I don't believe this is a time to be timid. You know what was amazing about the Queen was that the older she got, the bolder she got. And it was funny, wasn't it? It was every Christmas meal, Christmas speech, she just got bolder and bolder. She got bolder with what she was sharing. And it was like, wow. And there's this woman is just speaking to the nations and just leading the nations to God. And I was so as I get older, then I'm praying I'll get bolder. Really. And my friend, we were on, and we were just last couple of weeks ago, we were playing in nightclubs and music clubs. And he was just getting bolder and bolder. And I said to him, Martin, you're getting just bolder. You know, you're just calling out Jesus, you're waving flags in clubs, all that stuff. And he just says, I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I'm just going to do it. So just pray that over us. You know, that reckless stuff just a new boldness on us. Just a confidence also that we are carrying, that we are lighting up. We're bringing the light of God into places that need it. The dark rooms. And I was thinking today about John, and you know, John still can't believe that he's a tattoo artist as a Christian. And it's just areas like that, aren't they? That are not normally Christian people in. And you know, sometimes when you go into a tattoo parlor, not that I do very often, but it's a weird place. That's a different place, isn't it? And I just seeing John in there doing his thing, and I go, yeah, let's do it. Bring light. And we have a friend, a guitar player, and he's got lots of tattoos. And just for some, we didn't know this was going to happen, but he went to John's to have his tattoo done. And it's just like, and they started talking and da 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 da. And he said, oh, do you know Les? So it's funny. So I was, the people were talking about me in a tattoo parlor. Fantastic. But yeah, just more of that. More of light, more of God's light in dark places. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
So I want to speak, Ben, just want to go on to 2 Corinthians 2, 15 to 17. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are an aroma that brings death, to the other an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. And there's moments, isn't there? There's moments when you arrive in a place and you know that God sent you there. And it can surprise you sometimes. And then other times it's quite intentional. You walk into a place and you know that God's given you favor there. God's given you... almost like a heart for that place. And so you just stay there and you go and then you build relationships with people, you conversations. But what you're doing is you're bringing the fragrance of Jesus into that place. So where we go, we bring the fragrance of Jesus. And to be really aware of that, we bring the smell of Jesus into situations that stink. We change the atmosphere of rooms. We bring hope. We are kingdom carriers. So wherever we go, we carry the kingdom of God. And you know, it's funny, isn't it? But people are watching us. People are watching you, especially if you. If you say this is who I am, or they know what you do, and so when we're there, we're doing our thing, we're being Jesus in that situation, we're carrying the aroma of Christ, but people are watching you, and then it's amazing how people are, how long it will take to then have a God conversation. So. You know, I've been working, I was working in the studio for 14 years. And the studio manager said, "Les, you'll never guess what's happening." And I says, "No, what's happening?" He says, "We're coming down to the Grand Hotel for Eastbourne for our management day, a couple of days away." I said, "Do you want to come and see us?" So it was a free drink, so it was fine. So I went down to see them. And then at 1 o'clock in the morning, this lady who I was working with every week, she turned around and she says, "Les, you know my parents were church planters." And she had grown up just going from one city to another, planting churches. And it took her 14 years to tell me that. And but it's just this faithfulness, isn't it? There's a faithfulness in being, you know, representing Jesus. And wherever we are, and just for us to be faithful in that, faithfully walking, being Jesus' representatives, in an area, bringing the salt and light into places, carrying the aroma of Christ, and that this is there's also another situation where. Had the privilege of working with Roy Castle. Maybe some of you remember Roy. But and his dream was that he would play in Ronnie Scott's jazz club. So that was his dream. And he had never done that before. And so when his album was launched, we hired Ronnie Scott's for it. And we thought this would be a great moment for him. But I don't know, everybody that has that picture of Ronnie Scott's jazz club where it's just smoky. Like it's really kind of like a smoky atmosphere. But obviously, Roy's health was because he'd inhaled the atmosphere from smoke. So he, so it was decided that the day of the launch, there would be no smoking in Ronnie Scott's. So, and for the first time ever, there was a concert in Ronnie Scott's that didn't have smoking. And it was just one of those situations, isn't it, where you go in and you change the atmosphere. This is what it is usually, but no, we're going to come in and it's going to be different. And this is how we're going to do it. So I don't think the staff there could believe it, that there was this kind of jazz event happening and there was no smoking in it. And so, and what was amazing, there was that after Roy's death, his passing, then there was this whole thing with the Nation, wasn't there, where there was now, and then now, there's no smoking in clubs, no smoking in pubs. And there was just, because of this man's life and what happened, the whole nation has changed. The whole atmosphere in every place. You can go and have a meal now in a pub and it's no smoking. You can go into clubs, it's no smoking. And it was interesting for me because we grew up in the Salvation Army. And my father, every weekend my father would go to the pubs. And in the Salvation Army they have this thing called a war cry. I don't know if many of you bought it when you were in clubs, pubs. The young soldier as well. So what happened then was my dad would come home and he would just be smelling of smoke. And so that was my, I always had that impression of the smoking and pubs and clubs. And even when our kids came home, we knew, didn't we? We knew if our kids were home because we smelled the smoke. And now that's not happening. And that was through this guy, Roy Castle. And so, but he went in and we went in and just changed the atmosphere of somewhere. You know, the reason we are blessed is to be a blessing. The reason we are blessed is not so we can get even more blessed. The reason we're blessed is to pass it on. I love that scripture, freely you have received, freely give. And so this is our role as salt and light and fragrance of Jesus to share that and to be that. And I've got a couple notes here. It goes, bring flavor, bring light, bring the fragrance of Jesus, bring beauty, bring hope and healing, bring Jesus. And I was so encouraged at December time, in terms of culture. There was this incredible book, the Shirley MacKenzie book, The Boy, the Mole, the Fox and the Horse. And he basically has been able to show God's heart and through his drawings and his speaking. And then obviously at Christmas time, this was massive, wasn't it? And it was basically God's heart being shown through his work, through art. And it was just it was powerful, really powerful. And mental health, all those situations, these words that Charlie was being inspired to write were bringing hope and healing to millions of people. And that is the kingdom of God, isn't it? That's salt and light and fragrance of Jesus. And then also, so Bono wrote the Surrender book, just was, again, older and bolder. He was just saying, this is how it is. And Stormzy was writing songs about the Holy Spirit, recording them. And then our friends helped write the song that Cliff Richard sang for this Christmas. And we were going through Double H Smith's and we could hear this song. And it was just a good time and just an inspirational time. Almost like a Renaissance moment where the art and the songs of God were impacting society. And even in football, soccer, and Firmino, you know, they're all getting bolder about what their faith and their belief. And so I believe, you know, this is a time for us to be salt and light in society and represent Jesus strongly and boldly and confidently. Amen. Ruth, you want to share something?
Yeah, I do.
Please share.
I think it's exactly right what you say. This is not a time not to be bold. This is a time to be bold. And I just wanted to tell you about several of you, I think, here prayed for my grandson last night. Thank you so much. He's fine. But Seth is five, and he goes to not a church school. But someone at his church, because his parents are not believers, my daughter and her husband, they're not believers. But someone at his school is teaching the children boldly about Jesus, because this little boy comes to me and he knows I'm a Christian, he knows what I believe, but I haven't had huge loads of conversations with him about it, because there's been opportunities, I've followed them, but I haven't talked about the crucifixion or anything like that. You know, he's five. But he came back home one day, because I have him every Friday night overnight, and after school one day he said, "Who made everything?" And I said, "God made everything." He said, "Yes, that's right. You believe that, don't you?" So then, and then there were various other things where he's noticed. He says, "Is that book about Jesus?" And I said, "Well, how do you know?" He said, "Well, there's a cross on it." And he said, "Jesus carried his cross." He's learned so much at school. It's quite amazing, given it's not a church school. Interestingly, I talked to my daughter after this has happened a couple of times, and said, you know, that he seems to be knowing a lot about the Easter story and about Jesus, and he keeps asking me about Jesus. And she said, yeah, it's, a lot of the parents aren't happy about it. So that was interesting. She said, "I'm glad he's learning about it." And, you know, Tess isn't a believer, but she is warm towards people of faith. And she always knows a song that has something of Jesus in it is about him. She's told me loads. Oh, she said, "You'll like Mercy Me. They're good." And stuff like that. But what's really interesting is that Seth had some time with his granddad, my husband, John, one weekend. He said to granddad, he said something about, "Do you believe in..." I don't know where it came from, I can't remember now. He said, "But do you believe in Jesus?" And so, like, my husband is taking his time, bless him, to actually be step over a threshold. He's very warm towards people of faith now, like the rest of my family are, but none of them have taken that step. And to have my grandson, age five, ask such a question of his granddad was just yes. So, and I'm just really thankful. I'm always bold when I'm asked a direct question, but someone at his school has ticked a load of kind of like boldness boxes. Amazing. So yeah, it's not a time to be bold, and I think people are just being bolder, and we should be. We're all older. I'm definitely older, and I'm definitely bolder. So thank you, Les. That was excellent. What are we doing next?
I've got one more thing to share. The interesting thing about the verse, the scripture about the aroma of Christ. Ben, can we just put that on, the second one? You're right, the first time. Yeah. So, third line down, he goes, "For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved." I thought when I was studying this, this was really popped out to me. So it's not those people who are being, that are saved or going to, is who are being saved. So, and again, I thought this is encouraging about the garden as well, and just about God conversations. People who are becoming warm to God. Do you mean? And so they're being saved. They're on that journey. Do you mean? And God is drawing near to them, and they are drawing near to God. But this, that just that whole concept of people being saved. So that whole thing of, oh, I've met this guy, he's a non-Christian, he's not a Christian. But then there's the whole thing, I've met someone and they're being saved. So they're already on that process of coming to God. So they're not come to God yet, but are they coming to God? And so I think that when we look at our people, when we have conversations, to have that perspective on that. Amen. So I thought it'd be good for us this morning. How are we doing? We're good. Just for us to pray together. So the first thing I thought was, I think there's moments where I felt just not just for me personally, but we feel almost like we've compromised on some situations, held back on some situations, and just to be, just to almost like speak to God about that. And then also, I just wanted us to break into groups and talk about areas where we feel God has given us influence, where God has given us gifting, and for God to use us in those situations to be salt and light and the fragrance of Jesus. So can we do that, please? Let's go into groups of three and do that. If we can. Sorry, first we're going to just check on situations where we feel we've been too silent. Can I just add one thing, please? You know the scripture about where we become a voice for people who don't have a voice? And just pray for that as well. We speak up for people who can't speak up for themselves. So let's just move on and just pray for a holy boldness in our conversations, in what we say. And pray for the Holy Spirit at this Pentecost time. Let's do that in our groups. Amen.